Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. And Lord, we are so thankful for your grace that has been extended to us through the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful that by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, His precious blood has covered over all of our sin. Lord, it is by your grace alone that we are able to approach you even now. And we're so thankful for your grace that compels us to come to you, to find rest in you, and to find hope in you. And Lord, tonight as we look yet again at the story of lives lived by faith, Lord, that we would be inspired to live by faith today. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight, as we continue on our journey through faith stories as told in the great Hall of Faith of Hebrews 11, we come to Abraham and Sarah. And the passage that we're going to read from Hebrews 11 tonight is much longer than that which we've normally been reading as we've come through this series, but it's so full of vital information. I want to invite you to look with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read verses 8 through 19 as we hear recounted by the author of Hebrews the story of Abraham and Sarah and the great faith that they exercised as they trusted God. But here's the theme that I want to give us tonight. The theme of our message is how the passage begins. By faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Abraham obeyed. So let's look to Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So the author of Hebrews tells us the story of Abraham and Sarah very succinctly. If you've been around church for any amount of time, you know how vital a role Abraham and Sarah play in the history of the faith. Abraham's the father of faith. Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him as righteousness. But I want us to remember kind of the big points of Abraham and Sarah's story. The first point I want to give us tonight is this: God called Abraham. God called Abraham. You remember in Genesis chapter 12, God came to Abraham and he spoke to him. He was named Abram at that point. But he said, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." And God said, "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." What an amazing promise of God to Abram, who would become Abraham. But notice that Abraham had to respond to God. He had to believe God enough to leave everything he had ever known. He had to leave his land. He had to leave his kindred. He had to leave it all and go to a place that God would show him. And here's what's interesting. God didn't give him a map. God didn't pull up the directions on his iPhone. No, God's only directive was this: you follow me. And Abraham responded in faith. He and Sarai set out and they followed God, trusting God to lead on as he would get them to the best place for them. And so God called Abraham. But then the second point I want to give us tonight is this, that God assured Abraham. You know, often we think that Bible stories happen just one moment right after the next. And the truth is that Abraham was 75 years of age when God called him in Genesis chapter 12. Well, you know and I know that it wasn't until he was 100 years of age that Isaac was born, thereby fulfilling the promise of God to Abraham. 25 years passed between God's initial call and God's initial promise and the fulfillment of that promise in the birth of Isaac. 25 years, a quarter century. You know, it's been about 25 or so years since I graduated high school. And that seems like a lifetime ago. That seems like so much time. You think about all that has changed, all that has transpired over a quarter century. Well, that's how long Abraham and Sarah had to wait for God's promise to be fulfilled. And so, understandably so, there were times when they had questions. And then Genesis chapter 15, Abraham is questioning God, saying, "Lord, how can I know? I don't have any children. How can I be the father of a great nation that outnumbers the stars or the grains of sand on the seashore? How can that even be possible when I don't even have a child? In fact, one of my servants will be my heir." And God assured Abraham, and you can read all about this in Genesis chapter 15, when God said to him, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." And in that moment, God caused Abraham to have a vision of God passing through and sealing the covenant that he would make with Abram. What's amazing is that God swore by himself, according to God's character, would the promise to Abraham be fulfilled. And God's character is perfect and pure. And of course, the time would come when God's promise would be fulfilled. God would set apart a people for himself, and Abraham would be the one through whom that line would come. And by Abraham's seed, we would eventually receive the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. God would make all who would come to Jesus children of Abraham so that we can also sing, "Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you." So let's all praise the Lord, because through Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham, all have been welcomed into the family of God. So God assured Abraham that his word would come to pass. God swore by himself and guaranteed that it would be so. The third point is this, that God marked Abraham. In Genesis chapter 17, God called Abraham to embrace, and all of the males of the people to embrace, a marking in the flesh to signify a change of the heart. And that symbol was circumcision, given in Genesis chapter 17, that all of Abraham's descendants would be circumcised. Now, in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, you can read all about this in the book of Acts, particularly around Acts chapter 15 in the Jerusalem Council. But for all those who would be descendants of Abraham, they were circumcised to illustrate in their flesh that they were a special people, a peculiar people, the people of God. When we come to Christ, that no longer stands as a requirement for the people of God. What God is more concerned with is the marking of the heart that He alone can see, but that our hearts are marked as we trust and follow Jesus, that we belong to God. But God gave Abraham a sign of the covenant, and that sign was circumcision. And then God tested Abraham. In Genesis chapter 22, it's one of the most gut-wrenching passages of Scripture in the entire Bible, when Isaac has come and God calls Abraham to sacrifice his son, this great child of the promise, promised by God, this heir, this one through whom all of Abraham's descendants would come, God says, sacrifice him in worship to me. It's gut-wrenching as you read the story because Abraham takes Isaac and they go alone to worship. They leave all the others behind. And as they walk toward the place where they will worship, Isaac says, Father, I see the wood, I see the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Isaac didn't know that he would be the sacrifice. And Abraham said something deeply profound. He said, God will provide. And so Abraham prepared his son, bound him, laid him on the altar, and raised the knife to carry out God's command. The author of Hebrews tells us that Abraham believed God would bring him back. God could raise him from the dead. And truly, God is able. But you remember the story that when Abraham had the knife raised, the angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, Abraham, Abraham, see that you do not touch the boy, for I see now the depth of your faith. And what did God do? He provided a substitute. Over in a thicket, there was a ram with its horns caught in the thorns. Isn't that interesting? A substitute provided by God with its head enwreathed in thorns. That substitute would die instead of Abraham's son, Isaac. You know, on that same mountain range, the Moriah mountain range, a couple thousand years later, there would be another substitutionary atonement where Jesus, the very Son of God, was led outside the gates of the city of Jerusalem and gave his life as our perfect substitute. It's interesting, Abraham named that place Yahweh Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide, for on the mount of the Lord it was provided. And 2,000 years later, on the mount of the Lord, it was provided yet again, so that all of us can come to God through Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, whom He sent because He so dearly loved us. God started this great expression of faith through Abram, who would become Abraham, through Sarai, who would become Sarah. Abraham and Sarah obeyed God. They obeyed God because they believed God. I pray that we would do the same today. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful that faith is not an end in itself, but faith always results in the action of obedience to you. Abraham and Sarah believed you, so they obeyed you. And what a blessing for all of us. We are thankful for the great seed of Abraham, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the one delivered through the line of Abraham, who was our substitutionary sacrifice. For on the mount of the Lord you provided, and you provided enough to pay all of the debt of our sin through Jesus Christ's death on the cross. Lord, we're so thankful. And we believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the grave. We believe He ascended into heaven and that He lives today. Lord, may our faith spur us to obey You, just as the faith of Abraham and Sarah spurred them to obey You, even when it was difficult, even when it didn't make sense. Lord, may we be faithful as they were faithful, as You are faithful. And Lord, before we bring our time together to a close, yet again, we join together our hearts and our minds and our voices to pray that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, we will answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to worship with us tonight, and we hope you'll join us this Sunday at 11 a.m. as we gather to worship our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you.